Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Carolina Conversation Q&A. I'm your host, Shimon Williams, and I have my partner, my producer, JK. How you doing today, JK?
I'm doing good, man. It's almost Christmas, and that's a positive. The negative is, like we talked about before videoing this, is that Kentucky game. But other than that, I'm good.
Yeah. We have to talk about the Kentucky game, even though it may not be the thing that we want to talk about. But you know, it was a difficult game for the Heels. What were your thoughts? Let's see what you thought.
Well, first off, I knew it was trouble when Armando had 17 of our 29 points in the first half. Like, no one else is really chipping in. But the thing that really bothered me the most is, like, I know we have as much talent as Kentucky. I know we could beat Kentucky, but it almost looked to me like it just came down to effort and preparation. Kentucky just simply played harder and they looked way more prepared than we did. And that was the most annoying part, is like, we kind of made it a game at the end of the first half. And then Kentucky makes their halftime adjustment, comes out. Next thing you know, they're almost up 30. And that was what really bothered me, is it just seemed like, as soon as we got down, we were defeated, we gave up, and the game was over.
Yes, it's interesting that you say that. Because as I watched the game, and as I'm critiquing, you know, each possession, the one thing that stood out to me, whether it be the Tar Heels or any other team that I'm watching, is the effort and toughness on the floor. Because when you start talking about competing, when you're competing, it has less to do with your talent, but more about your mindset and what's in your chest cavity. And so as I'm watching the game, it seemed as if Kentucky knew that they were playing North Carolina, but North Carolina didn't know that they were playing Kentucky. And, you know, though, that was something that kind of just went through my mind as I continued watching the game. And it you know, you begin to think, do they understand what that name across your chest actually means? And it's not, you know, it's not nothing against Coach Davis. I think it has to do with the individual, because you have to have a certain type of respect and pride about who you are and what you stand for and what you're part of. And, you know, and at the end of the day, I just felt like the way that that game went, I don't think that Kentucky respected us. And that right there is the issue for me, is the issue, because you're not going to win them all. You're not going to win all your games. That's not realistic. But what you can garner in each and every game that you participate in is respect. And people know that you came to fight. And, you know, like you said, you know, it's one thing for me to say what I saw from a perspective, but what you just said about what you saw from your perspective, those are the things that you do not want anybody to have of you when you are in any type of competition. They must respect your work. They must respect what you do and your effort. And that for me was something that was an issue in that game.
Yeah, and I think what you said is a perfect point, is like the name on the front. It's like, we're a blue blood school. They're a blue blood school. We're supposed to come into that game and prove to them that we are the true blue blood and they aren't. And it's like, it almost seemed to me like Kentucky came into that game like, we're the blue blood here. Nothing to worry about. We're going to be tougher than them. We're going to get to all the loose balls. We're going to get all the offensive rebounds and we're going to play harder. And that's what really bothered me, is it's like you said, it was like a slap in the face almost. It was like, we're playing another blue blood, but you know, we're not worried about these guys. We're going to come in and dominate. And it was just like, it was almost like an embarrassment. You were like, you know, this is not North Carolina. Like, but I just hope that if we meet Kentucky down the road in the tournament or something, that we use that game as a chip on the shoulder to really come out fired up.
Yeah. Motivation for sure. But you know, there lies in that performance where you could see that there's a lot of growth needed as well. And you know, you have a lot of individuals that have transferred to the University of North Carolina. And then the guys that play the bulk of your minutes are relatively young with the, you know, when you start talking about guys that have been brought up in the Carolina environment, with the exception of Armando. Well, you have Leakey as well. And so you hope that every time that an individual chooses to come to the University of North Carolina, they understand the responsibility that comes with donning that jersey. You know, it's really beyond winning. You know, it's a standard. There's a standard when you wear that jersey. It's a standard on how you act. There's a standard on how you work. There's a standard on how you treat other people. There's a standard in what you go out into this community and allow people to see. Those are non-negotiables. That has nothing to do with winning. That has everything to do with the individual. And so when you have those characteristics, then that allows you to be a winner. And when you're entrenched in that each and every day, when you decide to go to the University of North Carolina, you know, those are the things that come with it. And hopefully, you know, that's why we always come back in the summertime. That's why I was always there for summer. I needed those kids to understand what this thing was about. And did they win every game? No, they did not. They did not. But every time, the majority of the time that they hit that floor, they understood what it took to wear that uniform. And hopefully after the performance against Kentucky, the young men, my young brothers, will understand that this is a prerequisite when you attend and play for the University of North Carolina. And I'm looking forward to watching them play here in the ACC, in the upcoming ACC games, as they were able to get back on track against App State, you know, and do some good things. But, you know, I'm looking for that type of performance, regardless of who we play. You know, looking for that standard.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like you said, they did have a bounce back win against App. And the point I'd make too is like all three of the big games we played this year, Purdue, Tennessee, and Kentucky, they were all on neutral sites. It's not like we've been embarrassed on our home court this year or anything. Like, we'll have our chance to defend our home court in conference play. And, you know, as crazy as it sounds, I almost feel like this team needed a loss like that Kentucky loss, you know, because now, like you just said, like that character is going to be built. And it's like, okay, we just let everybody in the Carolina family down. Like, we're not going to let that happen again. And that's the type of game that you kind of need sometimes if you're going to have a championship season or you're going to make a deep run, just those character building, you know, losses. And I mean, I know App State isn't the best team, but it does show a little bit about the character that they didn't let that game, you know, keep them down for too long. They came out, they got a 20-point win. They did what they're supposed to do. So I think that's definitely a positive thing going forward, is like they did bounce back. They got back in the win column. So at least they weren't dwelling on the loss too hard.
Right. You know, you have to move forward. But while you're moving forward, you have to understand where you're coming from as well. And so, you know, I think the guys will be better. I think, you know, I know Coach Davis will have them ready to compete and perform. You know, I have no worries about that at all. You know, I just want those guys to you know, go out there and give it their all each and every time they hit that floor, because there's many more, you know, before them, and like myself, there was many more before me that you know, I have that respect for them donning that jersey, and I wanted to most definitely make sure that I made them proud in everything that I did on and off the floor.
Yeah, that's really all I got for you, man. I mean, hey, we had to discuss that, but you know, at the end of the day, like,
yeah,
you got to talk about the L's just as much as you talk about the wins. So
that's definitely the correct way and the right perspective on it. And so with that being said, we appreciate you spending time with us with our Q&A. And next we have an administrative legend in his own regard, the Norwood Teague.
Before we move on, let me tell you guys a little bit about our partners over at BetRivers Sportsbook. If you haven't signed up for BetRivers yet, now is the time, because they are offering a $250 match bonus for your first deposit. But what sets them apart is that they require just one playthrough to turn your bonus into cash money. With their rush pay instant approval, withdrawing your winnings is safer, it's more secure, and it's more reliable. Now that basketball season is tipping off, get in on the action at BetRivers.com today or by downloading the BetRivers iOS app. You must be 21 years or older. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And while I got you here, let's talk about the Field of 68 Media Network, where college basketball matters most all year round. This is a digital media and podcast network that we've been building over the course of the last year. We have shows hosted by some of your favorite players covering the program that they love the most. AJ Guyton hosts the House of Hoosier. Eric Diebendorf covers Syracuse on the Scorer's Table. Dan Dickow hosts the Gonzaga Bulldog broadcast. We have Florida's Patrick Young and Duke's Andre Dawkins and North Carolina's Shimon Williams and Michigan's Stu Douglas and Illinois' Deion Thomas. The list goes on and on and on. We have more than 30 shows right now. So hit the links below and check them all out. And while you're at it, make sure that you go check out the Field of 12 Media Network, your home for college football.
And we have Dandy with us today. We have a pioneer of athletics administration, and he hails as a 1990. Start back over. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Carolina Conversation. I'm your host, Shimon Williams, and we have a Dandy with us today. He's one of the pioneers in athletic administration, and he is a 1988 graduate of the University of North Carolina with a BA in political science. But more importantly, he is the gentleman that started the Villa 7 with all athletic administration, athletic directors know was a powerhouse and allowed them to get many jobs across this country. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, please, Norwood Teague.
Javon, what's up? How are you, man? Thanks for having me.
Man, thank you. How are you doing?
I am great. Ready for Christmas. I hope you are.
Yeah. I'm ready for Christmas. I am. As we just finished the game in Philadelphia yesterday and got back to Norfolk and got a chance to watch the man play against the College of Charleston, which their AD we've had on this podcast, Matt Bowers, a 1997 graduate of the University of Carolina. And unfortunately for our men's team, they lost to the college. I felt good for Matt. But hey, lo and behold, hey, that's sports.
Yeah, Matt worked for me when I was an associate AD at Carolina. Matt was in marketing with me. He's great. And he left Carolina probably after my second or third year and went to Oklahoma and worked for Rick Hart, who is now in Dubai, was his friend who had worked at the ticket office at Carolina before. So anyway, a lot of connections.
No question. That's that Carolina family. That tree branch extends a long way. But first and foremost, before we get in depth, you know, tell everyone what made Norwood Teague pick the University of North Carolina.
Well, I probably wasn't going anywhere else. My dad went to Carolina. My grandfather went to Carolina. My grandfather came to the university in 1906, I think, and his brother came a couple years later, and that's who Teague Dorn is named for. My great uncle, who didn't get a lot of money, but he was the VP of business for 30 or 40 years at the university. That was it was named for him. So my dad went there, my brother, most of my uncles. I wouldn't go anywhere else. And it was my lifelong dream. And luckily I got in.
Man, well, look at there. That now I've learned something. I always love having the opportunity to learn something in these podcasts that I did not know about the individuals that we had. And so with that being said, you know, there you are, family lineage at the University of North Carolina, having, like you said, Teague, the name there, families. You know, what made you decide to go into athletic administration, you know, once you graduated from the University of North Carolina?
Well, my cousin, Todd Turner, who went to Carolina as well, he worked in athletic administration. He was AD at NC State and Vanderbilt, Washington, some other places. So he really kind of raised my antenna on it. And then I worked in sports information when I was in college, just to get going, get, you know, some experience. So I got out of Carolina, and I didn't really want to work in sports right away. So I went and taught in boarding schools for 3 years. And then okay. I went back to graduate school at Ohio U. Knowing I wanted to get back into college administration, I did something different kind of for 3 years. But, you know, Todd helped me raise my awareness, and then I worked in it in college.
Right. Now, is that the Todd Turner that has, like, search firm?
Yes. He was AD. He worked in the athletic department in Virginia like I did, but it was well before me. Then he went to UConn to be AD, then he went to NC State, then he went to Vanderbilt, then he went to Washington, University of Washington, and now he does research on the sports. Yeah. You're exactly yes. right, Shimon.
Yeah, when you said name, it kind of rung a bell for me. And for those who don't know, Todd Turner, he's very influential in searches for universities and colleges for coaches, for athletic directors, and maybe even presidents as well. But he's well-renowned, and his company gets a lot of searches every year to help athletic directors find potential candidates for jobs. But like I said, we have a pioneer here, so I'm going to let him explain that a little bit later. And so with that being said, there you are at Ohio U getting your master's and things like that. You know, what was your aim at that point in time? Were you wanting to be an athletic director, or were you wanting to be on the financial side of administration? You know, what were your thoughts?
You know, when you go to Ohio U, people kind of go in a couple different directions, Shimon. They go to the college sports. Some go in the professional realm. Some will go into the facility realm. They go into a lot of areas of sports, but I knew I wanted to do college athletics then. I didn't know if I was wanting to be an AD or what I wanted to do. I just knew I wanted to get into college athletics. So I knew that there was an internship at Virginia in marketing that a guy named Wood Seelig, your athletic director at Old Dominion, was the head of marketing at Virginia at the time. He was an Ohio U grad as well. Graduate school at Ohio U. He went to undergrad at WNL. And I called Wood and got hooked up with him and ended up going to work for Wood at Virginia, my first job out of Ohio U in the marketing. Now, the marketing back then, Shimon, was we did a lot of sales too. We sold game program ads. We sold ads in different areas. And then we did marketing. We did promotions. We did game management. We did all kinds of stuff. Gave me a great intro right then. So right. I did that for 3 years. And then I also started using our coaches television shows, the George Welch Show and Jeff Jones Show. I done a little bit of it in college at WTVD with Dwayne Ballen. And so I knew a little bit how to do it. So I got into every year I started doing more. And I got to know Jeff Jones very well. And then he asked me to come over and be his first director of basketball operations. So I did that my last 3 years. And I also did marketing as well at Virginia.
Right. Well, you know, that's that's a tough way to cut your teeth, you know, being at an ACC school, dealing with basketball, because we all know that the Atlantic Coast Conference was known and is known for its basketball. So for you to be in an environment that you, you know, kind of familiar with being at UNC basketball institution, I know that was very difficult cutting your teeth, but it gave you an opportunity to raise your platform as well. And so
it definitely did. But I tell you one thing, Shimon, being a Tar Heel and going out and working at Virginia was brutal in my first year and a half. I mean, I don't know. I think a lot of people do not understand. I mean, obviously, NC State lives to beat Carolina. Duke, of course. Virginia is a big Carolina hater. And so I go in being a Carolina grad. And I remember it was like the first week I was working at UVA. And we went down to Richmond to meet. It was like a reception. And we were meeting a lot of the sponsors of the radio network and car dealers and whatnot. And they introduced me. And they said, and he's a UNC grad. And the whole place moved. And I was like, okay, here I am. I get it. So that was a challenge. Especially early on, you know, but
anyway. That's good. I mean, it lets you know how people think of us, especially in a competitive environment. But
yeah.
But they chose well to having you there. They needed to have championship mentality. They needed that in that at that point in time.
Well, you know, and Shimon, I remember back when Todd was working at Virginia, I went up there for a game. I was about seventh grade. And I was at University Hall where you played against Virginia. And Ralph Sampson was being recruited. Ralph was down on the press row. And they're going, Ralph, you know, it was wild. But I remember I went down to the tunnel where you used to run out of at University Hall to go to play Carolina. And Coach, it was the end of the game, and Coach Smith ran off the floor to go in the tunnel. And I have never seen grown men lean over the tunnel and yell at another grown man like that, because he had Virginia's number. Coach Smith had Virginia's number, and he drove people crazy up there.
No question. Yeah, that's my guy, Coach Smith. What a smile. He'd do it with a smile.
Oh, yeah. And the funny thing is, you know, your compadre, Jeff, up there, as Jeff Jones is the men coach at Old Dominion. Jeff played at Virginia. Jeff's not a big Carolina hater, and he had a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Smith. And he always was very, very friendly with Coach Smith. And Coach Smith recruited him. For Jeff, it came down to Virginia or Carolina, and he went to Virginia.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah. Yep.
Much as
he did. Those were his two. And I think I've asked him 100 times. I can't always remember. I think he went to Virginia because at that time, Jeff Lamp, Lee Raker, and Terry Gates were at Virginia playing a year ahead of him. And they were all Kentucky guys like him.
Right. That makes sense. And so with that being said, after working at the University of Virginia and cutting your teeth and building a platform and a name for yourself, you had a chance to come back to your alma mater, if that's correct. And so how was that?
Well, I went 2 years to Arizona State in between to go, and I ran their radio TV network after I left Virginia. Coming back to Carolina was, it's hard to put into words, it was just so cool, so much fun, a dream come true. It was, I think about it all the time, how fortunate it was to get a job because Bob Savada was retiring. And I remember Dick Bedore called me, and I was in the parking lot of Sun Devil Stadium. And he called me and says, Norton, are you interested in this? And I think Dickie thought that because I was general manager of the Sun Devil Sports Network, I think he thought I made a bunch of money or something. You're interested in this? I said, Mr. Bedore, yes. And I interviewed a couple of times. It happened. I got to work in Carmichael, it was even better.
Right. And so now you're back in Chapel Hill, and now you're beginning to, you know, work in that environment and be back there, shows that your work paid off and things like that. So at that point in time for yourself as an individual, what were your thoughts? Were you wanting to use UNC as an opportunity to one day get your own job, or did you want to just make sure that you made your footprint felt there in Chapel Hill?
probably a little bit of both, but it gelled for me at Carolina that I wanted to be an AD. And I thought, you know, I really want to do it at some point. But there was so much to do at Carolina, you know, for the 5 years I was there. I didn't really start thinking about it probably a lot until my last year. And some things happened to steer me to VCU that was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And one was a Carolina connection.
Really?
I'll tell you about this. Mike Ellis, who you know, who was a head manager my senior year, and the basketball office, I guess when you were there too, the basketball office and sports information right across the hall.
Yes.
In this, remember, in the old offices. And I got to know Mike when we were in college. Fast forward, he was head manager his last year, and I was a senior, so we interacted. Then Mike immediately went to VCU because Coach Smith knew Sonny Smith, who was Barkley's coach at Auburn. It was another connection, somebody with USA Basketball, and I can't remember how he got to VCU. Sonny wasn't there yet. So he goes to VCU. And then I'm in Virginia, and I start seeing him a good bit again. Friends, and VCU and Virginia athletic departments will sometimes meet. I saw Mike. I get to Carolina, and my year and a half, Mike's like, Dick Sanders, hired you for this. I was like, I don't know. And I started an interview for some jobs, some AD jobs, but Mike was the one who pushed me to interview for him and helped me through the process. So that was a Carolina question.
Okay. And so now you get this job at Virginia Commonwealth University, VCU. And now everything kind of begins to change for you because, you know, at that point in time, you two get together and you form this. Well, you know what? It wouldn't be right for me to explain it. I will let you explain it to everyone.
So, it initially met at the Bellagio in Villa 7, and we'd invite the top assistant coaches in the country with about 30 athletic directors so they could get to know each other and have a clue when you're ready to hire somebody, especially at a mid-major like VCU, that you're ahead of the game. Nike didn't take over. Nike got involved in my first year. That really changed because we got to go out to the Nike campus and meet at Villa 7 out there in Portland. And that became... It just added more legitimacy to it. He would get, a lot of coaches involved. And I met Shaka Smart there. And I also met Anthony Grant there, who we hired right when I got to VCU. It really helped. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those guys ended up hiring a lot of those assistant coaches, those guys being the ADs.
Right. For those who don't know, that was a great component for a lot of the coaches that you're watching now that had a lot of these Power Five schools. For some of us young coaches, we wish that thing was still going on because, when you begin to talk about the relationships between ADs and assistant coaches and who you may be interested in hiring next, you know, how difficult is that, Norwood? How difficult is it to, you don't know who's well-respected out there in America amongst, potential student athletes and families, because the dynamic changes year to year. So being that in hiring, you had some great hires and Anthony Grant, Shock Smart, how is that whole process in itself?
You know, Vaughn, you asked a great question. It's just hard. And that was why Villa 7 was so important in that you get so many calls. You get such a mad rush when you have an opening of men's basketball, even women's basketball. And unless you really know what's the good information, and I'm in executive search now on the corporate side is what I do now. And we do a deep dive. It takes us 3 months to hire a president or a CEO in what I do now. And what we were doing in college sports, it would be 5, 6, 7, 8 days. you've got to know the real deal on people. You've got to have good information. The best way to do that is get out in front of it. That's what Bill 7 allowed us to do. And I started developing a relationship about 2.5 years before I hired him. And we were intentional about meeting on occasion to talk about career, talk about what he was thinking. And there were a couple of people I interviewed as well that I'd had a relationship with. So I was well ahead of the game. To it, 5 or 6 days, you're going to get a lot of misinformation because you're going to get people who are calling on so-and-so coach, and you know it's biased because they want them to get the job. You got to get the real deal. Find out who's really good at recruiting, who's great at X's and O's, who's great at both. And you can find out a lot if you get out in front, especially if you have a relationship in the process. You know, with Shaka, I think I even called Mike Hill when Mike was at, Mike's the AD at Charlotte now. Mike worked, Carolina guy. And I think I even called Mike when Anthony was at, well, I talked to Mike when Anthony was there, because Anthony was from Florida too, when we worked with Billy Donovan. But I would call Mike and say, what's Shaka like in the department every day? You know, what's his demeanor? How does he treat people? That way you started a relationship and I got well ahead of it when we were ready to make the hire. So you're not behind the eight ball. You're not desperate for information during a condensed time period because you can make a mistake, and you can't make a mistake in that hire. You just cannot. It's too important. It's too important to the university. And you know, you can miss if you're not full of good information.
Yeah. And here's a great question for you as well. For those who are aspiring to be head coaches, you know, you get a lot of information. They say build relationships with the search firms, build relationships with the current ADs on campus, and those types of things. You know, what are some things that you would suggest those aspiring assistant coaches to do to possibly put themselves in a position that they may have an opportunity to lead a program?
I think one thing that's really underrated is develop relationships in your own department with other administrators, especially younger ones that are working. Because what happens, let me tell you a quick story as it relates to that. When I went to Carolina as an associate AD, I got a call from, I can't say the name, it was a Power 5 AD who called me to ask about a former UNC assistant football coach that I had worked with a couple of years earlier. The president was really high on this guy. And I said, AD, I can't use his name. I said, you cannot hire him. Let me tell you, ... Because as associate AD, I saw how he worked and I saw how he treated people. And probably was the one who caused him not to get the job. But I knew the real deal.
Right.
He wasn't a Carolina grad. So we're still in good stead here. but my point is that, you know, if you're an aspiring head coach, get to know the director of marketing who's probably 33 years old, could be a hot shot on his way up. You need to get to know him, because what's going to happen is when you're interviewing for a head job, the AD at that school is going to say, hey, so-and-so, the director of marketing, I know you know that director of marketing at Old Dominion who's with us. Call him and ask him what he's like. Is he good? Because people in the department know who's good and who's not. They know who can recruit well. They know how the players feel about them. Everybody in the department, you know how athletic departments are. So I would say really get to know people in the department, develop good relationships with people, treat people well, but develop relationships because it'll come back to help you on the road. And sometimes you'll say, I don't really need to get to know have a relationship with the director of marketing that deeply. He's a 35-year-old non-influencer right now. Don't be fooled. They're influential. Right. And I'm using marketing just because I use that word. It could be someone in development. It could be someone in academics. Because the academic, I guarantee you, when you're looking at a head job, the AD is going to talk the academic area of his department, say, call Dominion and ask the academic people. Personally, I know you know somebody there. What's he like? It happens all the time. So I think that's important. I mean, the other things, I think if you can be intentional about kind of keeping your eye out on little things you need to do besides the relationship I'm talking about. But, you know, if you see an AD in the Final Four, go up and introduce yourself. If you see it, if you're on the road and you're playing at Old Dominion, go find Wood Ceiling, go shake his hand and introduce yourself. That goes a long way. Be intentional about networking, introducing yourself. I think that's more important. I mean, obviously, X's and O's coaching. You know, you've got to win where you are and do those things. I'm talking about things that go unnoticed.
Right, right, right. Sure, that's some great information. That's some great information.
Well, I mean, hey, when I got calls, or when I hired Richard Pitino at Minnesota, I got somebody in the athletic department, two people in the athletic department of Minnesota to call. Was it FAU? I can't remember what it was. I knew a couple people. They knew a couple people down there. I said, call them. Because they're going to give the real deal, you know? They're not going to be sugarcoating anything. And that helps a lot, a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. And that's some great information right there. What are your thoughts about the search firms?
Well, I have a lot of thoughts. First of all, I work for a search firm now, but I'm not on the athletic side. I'm doing private equity searches. I'm doing searches for manufacturing companies or tech companies for presidents and CEOs primarily. And in my world, Shimon, it's a big job because you gotta work hard to get A players for people that pay you a lot of money to go recruit them. Search firms on the athletic side are very different than what I do. You're only looking in college athletics. Let's say basketball. You know, it's a finite group. When I go look, right. I'm looking for a CEO of a manufacturing company in Atlanta right now, and it is like this that I'm looking for. Whereas college athletics can be like this. But you know, search firms provide a couple things. Sometimes people get frustrated with them in athletics, but let me tell you what they provide. First of all, you're at Old Dominion, public university. You hire a search firm, it gives you a little bit of coverage. Be more confidential about your search. They can't FOIA, Freedom of Information Act. If somebody says, "Wood Ceiling, have you talked to anybody about your football coaching search? You talked to a candidate?" He can say, "No, I haven't," but the search firm has, and you're covered. That makes sense. It's a private area that provides you confidential coverage in a search. And let me tell you something. That's important for the candidate too. Because candidates want a head coach at Wake Forest in football. If he's really leaning to go into Notre Dame and it doesn't work out, he didn't want it to get out. He was looking. So it provides coaches confidentiality too. And coaches will tend to be more comfortable in that environment because there it's confidential. Does that make sense? It's just, yeah. It provides a lot of protection. Like, I'll tell you a story. When I was at Minnesota, Jerry Kill was the football coach. And a couple of years earlier, 3 or 4 years earlier, Glenn Mason was the football coach. And everybody always told me that Mason was a great coach. And I love the guy. He's really good to me up there. He is a great coach. But somebody told me once that a lot of people in Minnesota got frustrated with Glenn because everybody knew he was looking at the Ohio State at one time during the middle of his tenure. So it hurt their feelings. You know, he's betraying us. And a coach can't. So a search firm provides that for a coach, confidentiality, the safety of going through it. I think that's the greatest thing they provide in college athletics because, you know, an AD, even at private schools, you know, you can get freedom of information request and they're going to see your cell phone. It's called Shimon Williams 30 times in 3 days. Well, you're probably calling about, you know, the coaching search. And that's going to hurt Shimon, and it's going to hurt you in the search. So the confidentiality, I think, in that area, Shimon, is the main area. They also they can be a little more focused in the search, and that's all they're doing. And the AD has to walk on eggshells, and you know he's doing other things. So it's an ally for the AD, another engine in the search. Are they influential? I think they are. You know, a lot of them will say, "No, I don't get people jobs. I just do the search." But, you know, I can affect a search. You know, anybody who's a search person can affect a search. You know, the direction, I guess. I mean, we tried to lead in what we do and not cram. I think we do a good job of that. But I know there's a lot of debates about them. I mean, that's probably why you're asking the question, because a lot of people hire them, and I think it frustrates coaches sometimes.
No, that's some good information, because most people, you know, they like you said before, there's pros and cons to any situation, not just with the search firm. And so to hear you speak about things that the common individual wouldn't know about, per se, the confidentiality, that's mm-hmm. extremely important. Because like you said before, yeah, that protects the coach that may be a candidate but may not get the job. And so, like you said before,
exactly.
People
and
are very.
It's going to be more than a couple of candidates. And if you didn't get the job, you got to go back to your AD and all your donors and say, oh, you were interested in Boston College, huh? You don't like us as much as Boston College. You're not happy here. But you're not loyal. You're not bought in here. You know, those kind of things can ruffle the.
The fabric of a successful program, because if you weren't successful, they wouldn't be trying to. The
source from really finds that protection. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. And they, you know, the FOIA, I say FOIA, it's Freedom of Information Act. I mean, if you're an athletic director or you're a president, you'll get a call from the News Observer or the Daily News in Norfolk all the time asking for your emails to your president or your phone record, whatever that may be. They can get that. And, you know, you'd probably rather not, if you're at Notre Dame, having five coaches' phone records you've been calling slip out to the media. And that's going to cause a lot of heartburn on both sides.
Right. And the one thing that we didn't speak about, which is, for me, it's the most important part, your student athletes that play for you hear about you.
Much less than
that. Now you have a big issue.
Yeah, I mean, Shimon, think of it this way. If your head coach, if you're Jeff Jones at Old Dominion, and a power school calls you, and you talk once about it, and maybe they call to kind of get a reference on a couple of people, but maybe they say to Jeff, you know, we'd like to talk to you about it. And at the end of the call, Jeff says, I'm not interested, but thanks. Well, if that phone record gets out, all the student athletes and the Old Dominion fans are immediately going to say, hey, he's looking at another job, but he's really not. So that, and as you said, student athletes, of all groups that want loyalty, is that group, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Great, man. That's valuable information. Now, one of my is next to last question. Okay. Would you be interested in forming the Villa Seven again? How about that?
I don't know. Mike Ellis is doing a little bit of one now. Called okay. Next Chair. So he's taken it and is doing it. A couple other people are trying to do it too because it became so successful. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, my career now is so intensely searched. I know a whole lot more about interviewing. I know a whole lot more about how to recruit and how to recruit with a skeptical eye too and what we do. But yeah, maybe one day we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, man. I think it's needed. I think it's really needed. Me, in my opinion. And so now this is probably going to be the most difficult question that you've heard today, but I always ask all my guests this question. When it's all said and done here in the Carolina family, at the University of North Carolina, you know, what do you want all of our family members, alums, and everything to know about Noah T and his effect on athletics?
I want them to know that my interest in athletics was born out of the University of North Carolina. My passion for athletics in so many ways born out of my dad being a Carolina fan and me loving athletics as a little boy. But I think one thing that I think we all need to be is that Dean Smith had an effect on everybody. And his effect on the state of North Carolina, the kids in my generation and your generation, goes way beyond basketball. And you can't really explain it to anyone who's not a Carolina fan or has not lived in the state. I mean, he was just unbelievable on so many fronts. And I remember when I worked at Carolina, he was retired and in the deandom, and I'd have to go meet with him to give him his cell phone or something like that. I'll be more nervous doing that than I had to, if I had to go meet with the President of the United States, because I was wanting to meet Coach Smith. He was so much of why we have the Carolina family, so much of why the university's great. I mean, he's not the only reason, so much of that. And I think for me, getting older now, I look back on his influence on my generation and just gave me such a passion for having a love for athletics and its great effect on university and people.
Yeah, that's awesome, Noah. That's awesome. That's awesome.
It had a great effect on you.
For sure. Everything that I focus on as an individual, most definitely when it comes to my thought process of being a leader as a coach,
yep,
is all predicated on what I've learned from him. There are some others that have had some influence on me, for sure. Fletcher Arrett at Fork Union Military Academy.
I was gonna say Coach Arrett, yeah.
Yep, Dan Peterson. You know, those individuals have really helped form Shamon Williams, the individual, especially from the athletic perspective. I'm my family, my community, everything that I do is very appreciative of Coach Smith taking a chance on a young man like myself. So,
let me end with this. And I think this is a great thing about athletics. You know, coaches have big rivalries with each other. I think they were bigger back in the 80s and 90s, especially ACC basketball. And I worked for Terry Holland at Virginia, too, as he was AD when I was there for most of the time. And this is kind of Jeff-oriented, Jeff Jones-oriented, too. But at that time, Shimon, you don't remember this because I'm a little bit older than you. Coach Holland and Coach Smith were big rivals, and people thought they couldn't stand each other and probably had some conflicts when they coached against each other. When I was working at Carolina, we were playing Virginia at home in the Dean Dome, and Coach Holland was coming to meet me before the game just to grab a Coke and have a sandwich. We hadn't talked in a couple of months. And I'm on the phone with him, "Where are you?" And I was waiting for him in the arena, and the game was getting close, and he finally walks in. He goes, and again, think back to my childhood, Dean and Coach Holland were at each other's throat.
Right.
And his hair's a mess up. I said, "Where have you been? I've been waiting." He goes, "Dean and I went to breakfast. He just dropped me off." I went, "You went to breakfast with Coach Smith?" It made me realize, you know, hey, athletics is great. And after you get past the competition, you become friends. So he had been to Carolina Inn with Coach Smith. I was like, I couldn't believe that.
How about that? That's a great one. Great one. Well, Norwood, man, I want to say thank you for being a participant on the Carolina Conversation. You've been very informative. And like always, man, I appreciate your brotherhood to me. I can always call you. You answer. You've been very influential in the knowledge that I have and things. I'm very appreciative. But I appreciate you taking the time to bestow your time and your knowledge on us.
Shimon, thank you. And I'll see you here soon. I'll be up in Norfolk soon to see Jeff. And I was telling Jeff I want to catch a women's game too.
That sounds good. That sounds good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in the Carolina Conversation. And when you're not supporting the UNC Tar Heels, make sure you check out the ODU women. We've finished our non-conference season 10-2. And head coach Delisha Milton Jones is doing an outstanding job. And here at the back end of December, we'll begin our conference season. So when you have time, please support the Old Dominion women's basketball team. Thank you for your time and thank you for listening. Have a great day.